Ikadashami manaso vikara Sahasrasa shabdasa kotisascha Sitra gyato namito nasvatasyu Translation. The physical elements, nature, the original cause, culture, destiny, and the time element are all material causes. Agitated by these material causes, the 11 functions transform into hundreds of functions, and then into thousands, and then into millions. But all these transformations do not take place automatically, but by mutual combination, rather they are under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Purport. One should not think that all the interactions of the physical elements, gross and subtle, that cause the transformation of mind and consciousness are working independently. They are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 15.15, Krishna says that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. As mentioned here in Super Soul, Kshetragya is directing everything. The living entity is also Kshetragya, but the Supreme Kshetragya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the witness and the order giver. Under his direction, everything takes place. The different inclinations of the living entity are created by his own nature or his expectations, and he is trained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the agency of material nature. The body, nature, and the physical elements are under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They do not function automatically. Nature is neither independent nor automatic. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is behind nature. Maya jakshena prakriti sthiti cetaram hiturane kunte yajagat viparivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and is producing all moving and unmoving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Bhagavad Gita 9.10. So that a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. And that is an important principle. Yesterday, I spoke about commitment and about doubt in relation to making commitment, about holding on to our security, about what we have, what is within our reach. Although we know the limitations of it, still we are not sure of what is there really to attain on the spiritual platform. There may be two levels of doubt. One is doubt in the objective. Is there really a spiritual world? Is there really Krishna? Is it really all true? That could be one level of doubt. Another level of doubt could be, it's all true. Of course it's all true. And pure devotees can certainly attain the spiritual world. But can I ever get there? Can I ever come to that level? So then we don't doubt the objective, but we doubt our own ability. Of course, in that case, we are thinking that we are the doer. And this is a fundamental inclination that every conditioned soul has, to think that I'm the doer and everything depends on me, on my arrangements and how much I am... I'm giving myself in the matter and how much I'm able. I know myself. I know very well how far I can go, how far I cannot go. But the truth of the matter is that ananyas chintayantamanam yejanana pariupasate te samnijabhyuktanam yogakshemabhavam, you know. Krishna will empower us. He carries what we lack and preserves what we have. And that goes beyond our calculation of who we are or what we can do. Therefore, prakriti kriyamalini gunakarmi sarvasaham karavimudyatma kartaham yitimanyante. We think ourselves the doer of activities which are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. And these three modes of material nature, as is explained here, are going on under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Every day, well, you know, we check the weather forecast because the weather is such a thing, right? It changes all the time. Very variable. In the same way, our moods are also just like the weather. We have to ask every few hours, we have to ask, how are you? Are you okay? How are you? Are you all right? Yeah, are you okay? Because very, very moody, actually, and very susceptible to changes is our consciousness. Yet, what we don't see is that these moods, they seem to come and go on their own, just like the weather. Yeah. But what we don't see is that there is a supreme controller. And that when the super soul is simply desiring, suddenly it is sunshine in our consciousness instead of clouds. Right? Just like that. It's not just... that is not dependent on us. If Krishna so desires, then we are full of inspiration. As simple as that. And a lot of times, the slightest little thing is a huge burden. If Krishna is pleased, that is the key. If Krishna is pleased, then we simply become empowered by His mercy. So, therefore, rather than approaching spiritual life in the mood that we are the doer, we gradually come to the point to actually more and more accept that we're depending on mercy. And that mercy of Krishna is causeless. It comes without us deserving it. It comes on its own accord. Krishna has made unlimited arrangements for all of us, everywhere in the universe. Somehow or other, Krishna came in our life, not by chance, by His mercy, by His arrangement. He knew it. We thought, well, you know, somehow or other, you found this book on the subway train and just, you know, picked it up and read it, and you know, it was interesting, you took it home. Little did you know. Or your mother, while shopping, met a devotee and bought this book, and then, you know, thought, well, maybe this is something for my son. Maybe it will help him to get off drugs. Yeah, it sure helped him to get off drugs. He joined the Haris. That was a little more than mom had ever thought. But it was all arranged. Krishna knew it all along. Krishna knew this time will come in a person's life that somehow or other this message will reach the person. It was all going on by His arrangement, His causeless mercy. But then, although mercy is causeless, there is still more. There is still more. There is also that one can attract the mercy of Krishna by one's service attitude, by how much we are willing to please Krishna. And this is basically what we come to. Little by little, we come in connection with Krishna's devotees. It is through the devotees of Krishna that one can do some service. The devotees are the proprietors of devotional service. And therefore devotees can give devotional service. It is through the devotees that we get some service. Without devotees, you cannot manufacture service. Maybe a devotee may have left an opportunity, just like the story of Prahlad Maharaj in his previous life. You may have heard before, or you may have not heard. Anyway, the story is as follows, that Prahlad, at that time, being a... I'm not sure how old he was, but an adult, that's for sure, wanted to enjoy with this society lady, and this within Vedic culture, a little bit more difficult than today. You couldn't possibly do such a thing in public, right? Therefore, he went with her into a solitary forest and was looking for some suitable place. And just in that forest, he found an abandoned temple. So he decided, together with her, they cleaned the temple so that it would be a nice, suitable place for their leisure sports. And as they cleansed that temple, it turned out that the temple was a temple of Lord Nrisimhadev. And actually, it was so that that particular day, it happened to be Nrisimha Chaturdasi. So therefore, he cleansed the temple of Lord Nrisimhadev on Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And in the next life, became Prahlad for that service. Yeah. So it is also very interesting to see how this mercy may continue over many lifetimes, and possibly in our life also. We don't know. But it is interesting to see and to realize that we're not just alone, you know, somehow or other, struggling in this life, trying to make it a little bit spiritual, and it's just one of the things on the block, you know, these days. A lot of spiritual influences have come from east to west, and you know, now we are all trying to bring a bit of that into our life, because life is so hectic and you need something spiritual. But maybe there's something completely different going on. Maybe even in a previous life we had a connection, and therefore by destiny now something happens. So many destiny stories. Just recently, I met this girl in Switzerland, and she had gone to Vrindavan, right, for some reason. She had nothing to do with Krishna consciousness, but somehow or other she wound up in Vrindavan, and she met the devotees who invited her to visit the Vraj Mangal Parikrama. And she stayed 1 month on the Vraj Mangal Parikrama, like that, totally cold, never anything to do with Krishna consciousness. Right. And suddenly, she's like for a whole month touring all the holy places in Vrindavan and going deep, deep into hearing every day about these transcendental places, which is like concentrated spiritual nectar and very potent. It creates deep sanskaras, deep impressions in the heart that will not just go away so quickly. These sanskaras will remain. And even if life takes so many turns, that will not just go. That cannot just disappear. That will continue to work. Even if such impressions disappear in the background, in our mind, and become semi-subconscious, on a subconscious level, they will act. So, in this way, one can ask, what did she do? What did she do before that she got that opportunity? What sukriti did she have? What unknown advancement did she have? That is the question. Then recently I was also told that there was an elderly lady who was not well, and she came to visit the temple just once, and then for a long term she didn't come back. And then after many months she came again one time and said, "Please pray for me. I have to go for an operation." Yes, okay. And then she was in the hospital, and then after some weeks, a message came to the devotees asking them to come to the hospital. The lady was asked if they could visit. So they did it. And then when they came, the lady was dying. You know, just when they came, so well, you know, I mean, they come, so they started chanting Hare Krishna. And then the lady left while they were chanting Hare Krishna. And you just think, like, she hardly had a connection, very little connection. But somehow or other, each moment that she touched the devotees, it was very significant. It was and she got these blessings at the end of her life. What did she do to deserve this mercy? Was it Krishna's causeless mercy that somehow or other he gave this soul that mercy just because it was his mood that day? Could be. Or was it that she had done some service somewhere to some Vaishnava, yes, in the past? What is it? The point that I'm trying to make, all these little things in the end make a big thing. And this is how we proceed in our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is actually not a great battle with our doubts. Right? It is not really necessary to spend so much time dealing with our doubts and questioning and turning it over again and again. And is this really me? And is it for me? No. Just do some service. A small thing. Do the small things. And many small things will result in a big thing. And this is actually how it works. And this is how it all becomes possible. When Krishna consciousness seems to be so difficult, and when it seems to be almost impossible, by just doing small things that are possible, suddenly the boundary of what is impossible becomes shifted. Suddenly it all becomes possible. This is the nature of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada simply came and simply engaged devotees. At one point in San Francisco, Prabhupada, well, we remember how Malati brought the form of Lord Jagannath, which she took from a shop. And then when Prabhupada saw that form, he said, "Are there more?" And she said, "Yeah, others also, in other colors." Prabhupada said, "Oh, get those also." And then, okay, they were there, all the three varieties, the black, the little black one, the little white one, and the little yellow one. And Prabhupada immediately in ecstasy, and then told Shamasundara, who was good in woodwork, to carve these forms. Then the deities were installed. And Prabhupada had all the devotees offer a tray with a candle on it. And it was in circles to the deities, and Hayagriva was doing it, and Hayagriva said, "Wow, this is a lot of fun. Is there any more?" Prabhupada said, "If I would tell you, you would faint." So he didn't tell everything. He didn't immediately come with all these different levels of commitment that are there. Because the commitment increases, it becomes more and more refined. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a description of Raghava Pandit. And Raghava Pandit was offering coconuts to the Supreme Lord. And not just coconuts, oh no. Raghava Pandit knew. He knew an area where the trees were producing particularly very sweet coconuts. And he arranged for a very nice one to be to be brought, and then he had someone expert with the chopping knife chop it, and it was ready to offer to the Lord. But then the person who was carrying it in leaned for a moment against the doorpost with his hand, and then he touched the coconut. Raghava Pandit said, throw it away, throw it away. People are passing through this doorway and their feet are throwing up dust. It's full with dust. This dust has touched the coconut. Now it cannot be offered. Well, was he a fanatic? Or, you know, did he have some sort of fetish? Dust, you know, dust. An allergy maybe? You got these kind of people, right? Oh my God, you know, dust. Dust, cats, anything, you know, like... take it away. Was he that kind of a person? No. Raghava Pandit was someone who was so dedicated to Krishna that nothing but the best will do. You know, for us it's like, well, you know, I mean, we're offering him coconut, you know. I mean, that's pretty good, you know. We went all the way out of the way and got a coconut, right? I mean, you know, I mean, it's pretty good, yeah. I mean, but not for Raghava Pandit. Not just coconut, yeah. The best of all. So that cannot come all at once. That kind of commitment cannot come in one day. That kind of commitment comes from step by step, increasing the commitment, which comes from service, which comes from having done things for the pleasure of Krishna. Because as we are doing things for the pleasure of Krishna, our capacity to increase our commitment is just rising like that, automatically. And this element of automatically is important because it means we're not the doer. We just have to take shelter. And we don't have to take shelter of the impossible. Let's take shelter of the possible. Sometimes we think that the service that we hate the most, that one is the best. Because then you have to surrender more. Therefore, if we do the thing we hate most for Krishna, then we surrender the most, isn't it? That's not required. That's not required. It is more simple. Just do what we can do. Do what comes natural. Do what is within reach. Go for that. And then, you know, then gradually. When we start to pick apples from the tree, pick the apples that you can reach. Well, later we can go up with a ladder and sort of, you know, get the ones from the top, right? But that comes later. So in this way, spiritual life is depending on the mercy of Krishna. And this is simply what we need to do. Bring that mercy home. I have one disciple in the Czech Republic, and he's explaining how, as he was growing up, his father had a very large bookcase, like a whole wall of books, right? Many shelves along the wall with books, father liked books. And he said that as long as he could remember, as he was crawling in the room, and he was looking at this bookcase, there was one book. It was on the top, but it was very effulgent. Somehow or other, that very effulgent book was on the top. And it was always there in his whole life, right? That effulgent book. And he never actually did anything with it until he was 20. Then one day, he climbed up and took the effulgent book off the shelf, which was the Bhagavad Gita, and he read it. And then it changed his life completely. And it's amazing, yeah, how
His whole life, he saw that effulgent book up there. So just see how Krishna's mercy is there. And then we can see how Krishna's mercy came into our life. Everyone has a story to tell. And if you think about it, how did the first little bit of mercy come in? And then how did the next little bit of mercy come in? And again, and again, and again. And then it begins to form a red thread and gradually a net which will pull us out. It begins to pull at us. Yeah. Like that. So we can see. Tesam mevanukam pertam aham jnana jantamaha nasiyam nirma bhavastu jnana dipena vashvata. Krishna is there all along. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said Krishna is waiting in our consciousness. He's waiting all along. Nasiyami atma bhava still. He is remaining in the consciousness of the living being. That's where he's situated. Atma bhava still. And then, there, as soon as the living being turns to Krishna a little bit, because of some mercy, then Krishna begins to act. Jnana dipena vasvataha. He begins to act and he begins to reveal transcendental knowledge within the consciousness. He shines with the torchlight of knowledge right there. So it may not be that that torchlight of knowledge is just switched on from pitch black to bright light all in one go. No, it's more subtle. It's jnana dipena. A dipa is actually a little oil lamp, just like we're offering it, well, in Vrindavan, at least in Kartik. Yeah, little oil. Put a wick. You can try it. If you have a bowl, you have a little piece of cork. You fill the bowl with oil, a little piece of cork, make a hole in a little slice of cork, and pull a wick through, and it flows on top of there, and you've got yourself a great oil lamp. Any bowl can do it. That's how we do it on the farm. Yeah. So anyway, the point is, a little light, Krishna immediately sheds a little light, and gradually it becomes more bright, not all at once. And then our taste for that mercy develops. And then we think, well, I'll do it again and again. And actually, it becomes something a little bit addictive. We say, like, well, I'll do a little more service. I have to do it again, whatever it is. This is the nature. Just like Vrindavan. I'm sure that girl who did the Vraj Mandal Parikrama is going to do it again. You cannot do it once. Not possible. Even if physically you cannot go, you'll do it again in your mind. And then the mind will bring you there again. Such nice places, I have to see them again. So, in this way, Krishna consciousness is not complicated. It's not necessary to all at once philosophically figure out the whole universe and the whole cause of the universe and so on. Okay, save that sometimes. Now we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and now we are reading how all the elements are emerging from Krishna, and how the sensual functions are relating to these elements, and we see the intricate relationship between the manifestation of all the elements in the universe and the interaction with our consciousness. And suddenly we can see, here is Krishna. And he is interacting with us. Nasayami Abhavasto, he's residing within our consciousness, and he is manifesting himself through us, through all these things that come from him. Gradually we see it. And we thought it's all magnetic fields and various rotating planets that somehow or other, and vectors that are sort of staying in balance in orbits and rotating in cosmos and all this and NASA and God knows what. And we never thought about simple things. The Big Bang. First there was a very dense lump of matter, and then it exploded. And then Prabhupada comes and says, but where did that lump of matter come from?
Never thought of that.
Or Darwin, if monkeys turned into men, then Prabhupada said, now there are monkeys and now there are men. Why isn't it that monkeys are turning into men today?
Never thought of that.
It's true, monkeys don't turn into men these days. These days, men turn into monkeys. That's because of Darwin's contribution. Because of Darwin, people became godless, and the result is that men are turning into monkeys. That's his contribution. Anyway, so we see everywhere the mercy of Krishna, because we can do a little service for him, and that service leads to more, and then still a little more. Can I maybe do just a little service? So time is running out. Any questions? Any comments?
Yesterday you spoke about Kalista and Madhya, but then the time ran out, so you have a couple of minutes to say about Uttama, Adhikari. You can remember yesterday's class.
Well, you know, the Kanista is struggling. He's the materialistic devotee who's holding on to his material securities, and then from that platform begins to relate to Krishna. The Madhyam, the intermediate devotee, is putting strong faith in Krishna and believes that if I simply do what Krishna asks, I'll be happy. The Madhyam is in this way beginning to develop attachment to Krishna. When that attachment becomes deeper and thicker, then all his energy begins to just focus on Krishna. And therefore, he sees Krishna all the time. Then he reaches the Uttama stage. The Uttama is constantly relating to Krishna, not sometimes, but from moment to moment, seeing Krishna in everything, seeing Krishna behind everything, and always thinking about Krishna. So he lives in that relationship with Krishna. That is the Uttama, and that way, completely transcendental. Therefore, the Uttama lives in the spiritual world. And then you see things like Prabhupada saying that these paintings are windows to the spiritual world. Right? And then, you know, if you take that analogy a step further, then you can say the windows that we have inside the building are actually paintings, because they show the false picture. They show what is not real. So when you look out of the window, you're looking at what is not real. And that's actually the picture, that's the painting. And when you look at the painting, then you're looking at reality. That's Uttama Adhikari. He lives in the spiritual world. And he's in this world, only externally, but internally, always with Krishna in the spiritual world. It's pretty nice. It's quite good. So we should become Uttama Adhikaris. Why not? So it's not so hard if we simply are waking up to reality, because that's what it is. We are in the spiritual world with Krishna right now, if we just open up to it. And the two worlds are, well, it's not very important.
Did you hear? Did you hear? Big news.
Big news, you know. Big news on a pea. The whole universe is a pea, you know, like no bigger than that. You know?
Big news. Big news.
The ants are walking over a pea. Yeah, big news. Big deal. Who cares? So we look at the bigger picture. Krishna, eternity, whatever's going on there. So we cultivate that consciousness, then one day we will be in the spiritual world, even in this, while we're in this body. That's Uttamadhika.
Pujari is going to come with me in a second now.
Any other question?
You're talking about just doing service that's reachable. You don't have to do something you absolutely hate, just prove that you're a devotee or something like that.
Sometimes a few things you hate.
Yeah, I was thinking about what are some things we have to do and we don't really like to do, but we sort of have to do them anyway, or we didn't listen to it.
But you know, like some people, they torture themselves. They do all these things, feel like, oh, it's too difficult, it's too much, and I have to do all these things, and it's such a burden, and you know, I feel like if I don't do it, I feel so guilty because I feel that, like, you know, me, nobody is taking care of all these things for Krishna, and I have to do it. And it, you know, then, if that's not necessary, well, that's okay, you know, like, we do what we can, you know, we cannot do more than we can, and we can also have some time to have a good time with Krishna. You know, the whole world, there's so many conditioned souls, and we're all suffering, and I have to save them somehow or other because I'm Krishna conscious, it's my duty. Oh, it's too much, but I have to do this. I don't know why I have to do it. It's like, you know, it's getting growing out of my head, but I have to do it.
We take some austerity from Krishna, but we also need to relish. The Panchatattva broke the lock of the storehouse of Krishna brain. What did they do? They drank it. They drank it and drank it, and as they drank it, their thirst increased. So we must drink ourselves, have a good time. Sometimes we have to dance like anything, you know. In Germany, just at a Shungi festival, I still have pain in my calves from having recovered from dancing. We really danced there. Yeah. That was good. Wasn't it? The name was Josh Good. Thanks for the response.
It was good,
man. Thanks. Appreciate. Yeah. So like this, we also can have a good time in Krishna consciousness. Important to relish. To relish. I mean, go before Radha Gopinath. Look how beautiful they are, how special they are. That's something we have. Yeah, things like that. Sing a song for them. They don't care that we're not the greatest singer. It's, yeah. Like that. We need to do these things. Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.